This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're stuck here. Starliner is troubled. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, it's been so long, we need to remind ourselves, what is Starliner? What is its mission? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Starliner is a manned capsule that Boeing is building to ferry astronauts to and from ISS. When NASA first issued this contract back, it was probably about 2013, SpaceX and Boeing won the contracts to provide ferrying service to ISS. And so for a lot of reasons, both got delayed, mostly having to do with Congress and NASA. But SpaceX has now been flying for several years now, probably 3 years, and they have now launched more astronauts into space, actually, than the entire NASA space program did in the 1960s. Starliner, however, Boeing's version, NASA wanted to have two different capsules, competitive, to have competition, to have redundancy, to have options should something fail. Starliner has been delayed endlessly. They've had problems all along the way. Boeing launched its first unmanned demo mission. They had to abort that mission because of more than 60 software errors and other problems. And then the second unmanned demo flight, which Boeing had to pay for entirely since this is a fixed-price contract, that mission was delayed almost a year because of serious valve problems that required a major rebuild of Starliner. But they did the second unmanned demo flight and decided, okay, we're ready to do a manned flight finally. And they were going to do it in June of this year, just this month. And today there was a press conference in which NASA and Boeing officials revealed that two newly discovered design issues. These are not things that just went wrong now. These are fundamental design issues involving the capsule's parachutes and a tape they used to protect the capsule's wiring have now forced them to cancel the June launch with no firm launch date scheduled. And I say these are design issues. For example, the parachute issue. They've now discovered that the links between the parachute cords and the capsule itself are too weak. And that in testing, that, quote, the data was recorded incorrectly, implying that they were stronger than they really were. So they were designed weak and put in too weak, but then in testing, they didn't find it out because they recorded the data improperly. This is Boeing and NASA. The tape is even more significant. What they've discovered is this tape is wrapped around the electrical wiring in the capsule to protect it from nicks and abrasions. And there's hundreds of feet of this tape around the wiring all throughout the entire internal systems of the capsule. Well, it turns out that this tape is more flammable than expected. And in a lot of places, the heat within the capsule could set it aflame, which would, of course, be Apollo 1 reborn. This is unconscionable. How could Boeing now, in development, use tape that could possibly burn half a century after the Apollo 1 fire? It really raises a lot of questions about this company in any respect, and it certainly isn't the company that built the 747. They say that they can maybe fix these issues fast enough that a full launch will occur, but made no promises. For example, with the parachutes, they're going to have to test new soft links, new joints. If that's the case, they might have to actually do some parachute flight tests, which is going to take time and is not going to make a full launch possible. And the tape is scattered throughout the capsule. What are they going to do, take the whole capsule apart? It's going to be a very big problem. And this just, once again, it's costing Boeing a gigantic amount of money. First of all, the bottom line, they're going to have to pay for these fixes. It's a fixed-price contract. NASA's not giving them extra money to fix these problems. Secondly, the delays mean that SpaceX continues to get flight contracts that should have gone to Boeing. The way this is going, ISS might actually, and so those contracts have been issued, so that means that Boeing might not get to fly to ISS with crews in an operational, profitable flight until ISS is practically ready to retire. It's really a disgraceful situation.
Bob, I read in the press release, Stitch, that's the manager of the commercial crew program, said the issue was present, the issue of the parachute system, was present for Starliner's uncrewed flight test to the ISS last year, but it wasn't until last week detailed review ahead of flying a crew that the issue with link joints was discovered. This is puzzling, Bob.
You're using a nice word, John, puzzling. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful both from NASA and Boeing's point of view. How could they possibly get to this point in the program and discover that those links to the parachute cords are too weak? You know, this is essentially the most important link in the chain. It's what connects the parachutes to the capsule. How could they discover this now? This is a design issue. This is the kind of thing you design for at the very beginning of design. This is like, common sense 2+2, elementary school, grade school math. I mean, you don't do it. It's absurd. And it's the same thing with the tape. You know, there's plenty of commercial tapes around that exist that are used in spacecraft for decades for this kind of purpose that won't burn. How they ended up using tape that burns, it makes no sense at all to me. Now, there could possibly be some hanky-panky within the bureaucracy going on here, but I don't think so in this case. Because NASA has generally favored Boeing, and that actually might have worked against Boeing. They favor Boeing, they think Boeing's the cat's pajamas, and so therefore they look at SpaceX much more aggressively, and they didn't look aggressively at Boeing and allow things to slip by without checking. But it's still disgraceful, because Boeing, it's like ridiculous. It makes me really question getting on any plane that Boeing has built, I got
to
tell you.
Let's go to a positive story. What is Sierra Space and what's Dream Chaser?
This isn't as positive as you think, John. Sierra Space is building Dream Chaser, a mini shuttle to bring cargo up and down from ISS. Their first Dream Chaser called Tenacity. They successfully ran electricity through it for the first time, powering it up. They basically tested its flight computers, base processors, and low voltage distribution units, which means they didn't test everything with power. And yes, that sounds really good. But in truth, Dream Chaser has just been delayed. They don't expect to be able to launch this till the end of the year at earliest. The problem with the delays has more to do with ULA's Vulcan rocket that's supposed to launch it. It's not ready yet. But I read this press release about the powering up of Dream Chaser and had a lot of questions because they didn't reveal much information. And this thing's been under construction since 2016, and it's now 3 years behind schedule. And the amount of information that Sierra Space releases about its status right now, mere months before launch, is almost nothing. And so I'm beginning to very much worry this is not ready yet, John, and that's a disappointment.
It was always Dream Chaser was always a good idea, but I'll wait. Russia.
It's a brilliant idea, but the thing that's really puzzling is there's no reason why it should be taking so long to build this. It doesn't make any sense because this technology was tested and flown by NASA back in the 1960s, and it was also tested and flown in orbit by the Russians in the 80s, lifting body technology. And this is a variation in many ways of X-37B.
Yes.
There's no real reason for this to be so having so many taking so long.
It's the Blue Origin flu. All right, let's.
I'm wondering. Yes.
Russia delays launch of Luna 25 1 month to August. The fact that
if it's only a month delay, John, that's not a big deal, considering that Russia started this program a quarter century ago, and it's been delayed endlessly for a quarter century. This would be the first Russian lunar lander since the Soviet Union existed in the 1970s. It's supposed to land somewhat close to the South Pole this summer and do research. It's been delayed multiple times. They delayed it again. They didn't say why. We don't know. They just simply said August is a better launch date, so we just have to wait and see how that goes, John.
Now we go to North Korea. A space program in North Korea that fails, and the immediate response was, we're going to do it again. What is it, Bob?
This was a rocket that they claimed was going to put a spy satellite into orbit. It would be the first North Korean launch since orbital launch till 2016. When they announced it, Japan threatened to shoot it down if it went over Japanese territory. As it turned out, the rocket's second stage failed, and so it's dropped into the ocean. And it appears that South Korea crews recovered some parts, which will be a real gold mine of intelligence data if that's the case. You know, North Korea wants to compete with South Korea, which recently launched a its own rocket for the second time and has an orbit around the moon. And so they're trying to at least look like they're competing, but they also have military goals. Everything here is military. It's a power game in North Korea. And so this failed, but that's the thing. It's another government failure, though, John. Let's go to the we finally have a positive story. Let's do a positive story.
AX stroke 2. What is it?
AX-2 is Axiom's second commercial passenger flight to ISS. It launched about 2 weeks ago. It was up for 10 days, 8 days on ISS. Well, this past weekend, it undocked to ISS and splashed down safely. The Dragon capsule Freedom splashed down, and SpaceX crews recovered the capsule, and the crew completed its mission. This is a private space mission. I have to emphasize again, it was a private mission launched by a private company and a privately owned capsule for a private company and private passengers. The only government involvement was when the capsule was docked to ISS and the crew was on the station. It was just the place they could stay. Soon there'll be private stations they can go to, so they won't have to deal with the government if they don't want to.
I note that
that was a success, John.
It's been several days and no environmental lawsuit yet, Bob, but we're
not
watching.
Yet, no.
Viasat merging with Inmarsat. Translation.
The key here has to do with Starlink, which isn't either of these two satellite companies. These are long-time established geosynchronous communication satellite companies that put satellites up to geosynchronous orbit to provide communications, broadband. They are under threat from Starlink because it's offering a new product at much less cost to the general public. And what's been happening is there's a consolidation going on, and Viasat has merged with Inmarsat to try to survive. And I make a great... I quote from the article because it indicates that almost all the big space old satellite companies are talking about consolidation right now. Not because there isn't competition in the communication satellite field, but because these old companies have worked in a different manner and don't know how to cut costs very easily to compete with the new companies like SpaceX.
In the meantime, SpaceX launched more Starlink satellites. 52.
That's correct.
And
they got more than 4,000 in orbit right now, John, all from pretty much the whole world.
Well, Inmarsat and Viasat got caught with a 20th century business plan. It happens when pages turn. Spain, signing on to Artemis Accords. This is number 25. Is there significance in this, Bob? It looks like everybody's coming on board except for Russia and China.
Not everyone's coming on board, John. I have a quick link on the Behind the Black about how Pakistan is going to link up with China on its lunar base. So there are some countries besides Russia and China that haven't signed on. Venezuela, for example, Uruguay. We're really worried about these countries. But Spain has joined the Artemis Accord. Spain might become a space power. They've got a private company about to do a suborbital launch with them, a new rocket. But they've now signed the Artemis Accords, which means they want to get in on the idea of encouraging private enterprise in space.
I was reading in Bloomberg how Madrid has become the center of major wealthy Latin American billionaires. Madrid.
Interesting.
So there's reason to believe that old mother country Spain is going to have a burst of energy for investment and maybe a space program. I don't remember them having a space program, Bob. Do you?
Well, they don't have a space program, but remember, we're not looking for space programs anymore. We're looking for a private, independent companies to do it. And what we do have a private company in Spain about to launch its first rocket, and ISIS, and with a spaceport in Spain. And so, you're mentioning the billionaires makes me wonder.
Yeah, big culture switch. In other words, they're going high end in old Madrid. We're headed to explore the moon with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.